Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Who Lead, and with me, our leading lady today is Bobbi DePorter, who is the founder and president of Quantum Learning Network, or QLN, as we call it. Good afternoon, Bobbi, and thank you for being on our show today.
I'm really pleased to be here, Michelle.
Well, you've done a lot, my dear, and I have to tell all of our listeners, out of full disclosure, to all of our listeners, we have an award-winning woman that's on our show today as our leading lady. Bobbi was recently recognized as our Lifetime Legacy Award winner for the Women of Influence Awards, and we are just really excited for you to share a little bit about your professional journey and the amazing, I call it a kingdom, so I hope you don't mind, the amazing kingdom that you've built at Quantum Learning Network. So it is a kingdom, am I right?
Well, you might say that. Yeah, it just still amazes me, start with one small program so many years ago and have it built, and then just what an honor it was to be recognized at the Women of Influence event. That meant a lot to me.
Well, I'm delighted about that, and I know your reputation in the Southern California area, I guess throughout the world pretty much, is amazing. But tell every of our listeners, tell them what Quantum Learning Network is. I mean, what is QLN? And, you know, I know you're focused, you have a big event coming up this summer that you do every year, but what is the kind of scope of QLN and Quantum Learning Network?
Well, we're an educational organization, so it's about effective learning and teaching. So we do programs that parents send us their children to called Super Camp. We do this on university campuses across the U.S., and we're in 14 countries. And then we work with schools and school systems across the U.S. to have teachers be more effective teachers and students more effective students. And we have done some corporate programs as well. So it all kind of comes full circle, but it's all about effective learning and teaching.
And I'm curious, you know, you say you do both, but, you know, the kids are so near and dear to you, but when you first started QLN, how did the whole idea come up? I mean, tell us about your, just, you know, how did you come up with the idea that QLN was a great idea to start, or was it a test and a try, and oh my gosh, look at you now?
Yes. Well, I was in business, and I started a business school for entrepreneurs with a partner, and it was about humanistic business. It was, we were very successful in what we were doing, and a lot of it was about culture and relationships and win-win business and keeping your focus and taking responsibility for your results. And we were doing all this in our business, and we got written up in national magazines. So people wanted to learn, what is it that you're doing? So we started doing a 6-week residential program that was a residential seminar, and it was teaching them what we were using in our own business. But what we found there was that as adults, they weren't really effective learners. That here we have adults, and you get them into a learning environment or what could look like school, and a lot of them would freeze up, and you ask them a question, and, you know, that they would feel stress response, and it was like, what is that? And it was, a lot of them said that their own schooling wasn't the most positive experience. And so we brought in experts, and we taught them effective how to read faster and how to take visual notes and how to memorize material, and we just really taught them how to be effective learners, and then we would teach them the business and entrepreneurial skills that we were teaching. So that the adults said, you know, this is so much fun learning. I never remembered learning being like this. We have to do something for our kids. So that was way back in 1982, and we started our first program for youth really as an experiment and seeing how would it work with what we were doing with adults.
Wow. Okay, so when you started, it was more with adults, and then because these parents were saying we've got children that should be better learners, that's how you got into working with young, with children?
Yes, it is, and that first program really was an experiment. My own children were teenagers at the time, and I know my son said, you know, Mom, I've been at your programs, and this just isn't going to work with, you know, kids. I know my friends. So I really felt like I had a lot on the line to prove, you know.
And with a teenager, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do with a teenager.
So we did the first program, and I'll tell you, there was so much energy and so much aliveness, and students that were sent by their parents, and some of them weren't thrilled to be there because they didn't know what it was going to be and thought it was going to be like school. But we were using the accelerative methods that we have for teaching, and the students just opened up. They learned so much. They, you know, that you really saw the shift in how they feel about themselves. They stand different. Their eyes are different. They just look excited and interested, and it's really when they really know who they are, they understand who they are, what they value, what they want in life, and then give them effective tools to be better readers, writers, thinkers, speakers, you know, then they have a real transformation that happens, and they come out, and they'll never be the same.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, and well, this leads to, and then I have some things I want to come back on, because I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to peel back the layers of you. But, you know, one of the things that I know you have that's so prominent on your website that you talk about, which are the 8 keys of excellence, and actually that's what we titled the radio show today. Can you share a little bit about how that works into accelerated learning? It's like, what are those 8 keys of excellence? Because I do want to drive people to the, you know, be committed and, you know, have them take the pledge that I know we talked about. But what are the 8 keys of excellence for everybody? How did that come about, and what is it?
The 8 keys of excellence are principles to live by, and it's what we are seeing that successful people lived by, and that they are fundamental in our Super Camp program and all the programs that we do, whether in schools or for business. And, you know, that shift that happens inside is really looking at your core. What is it that drives you? What is it that defines who you are? And living by a positive set of principle really defines who you are and influences all your decisions and your interactions with others. So the 8 keys are, the first is integrity, which is match behavior with values. Failure leads to success is all about learning from our mistakes. Speak with good purpose is speak honestly and kindly. This is it is make the most of every moment. Commitment is make your dreams happen. Ownership is take responsibility for actions. It's about owning the choices we make and the results that follow, and that's just such a big one that's out there, especially for kids. And flexibility, being willing to do things differently, and balancing is about living your best life. So all the 8 keys come together as what is known as the 8 keys of excellence.
And, you know, on those 8 keys, I have to say, it's like one of my favorite ones is be willing to do things differently, you know. I mean, how did you come up with these 8 keys? Was this something that you white-walled and rubber-walled? Or, I mean, how did they come about? Because they're fabulous. I mean, they're absolutely words to live by. And, you know, I think not only for kids, but adults, of course, because I know you said you focus on that as well. But how did they come about?
Well, some of it is from mentors that I had, and I feel very lucky and blessed that had different mentors in life. Well, the first one was my father, and growing up as a child, he studied the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And we know that Andrew Carnegie and all of that was where success principles really came into being. And so some of them were influenced by what I learned even as a child, and my father was following, and just the importance of them, and that's a real shift in thinking, that to have principles and to focus on them. And others, you know, I studied with Buckminster Fuller, who invented the geodesic dome and, you know, has hundreds of patents and was really called the Da Vinci of our time with his thinking. You know, his synergy of just do more with less. And when you talk about commitment, there's a whole story around how he committed his life to make the world work for everyone. And it is such an extreme commitment. It was everything in his life was about making the world work. And so just being aware and different influences on us and in conversations and, you know, seeing what successful people did. So that's how they came about, and it's been over 30 years now that they were developed. And now they're not only part of SuperCamp, but we work with schools throughout the nation, and schools adopt them throughout their district. I live in Oceanside, California, and the whole town is an Eight Keys of Excellence city. They're in every school. All 20,000 students have been taught ongoingly about the Eight Keys of Excellence. They're integrated into their lessons at school, and we even have them as 5-foot banners down the main street in Oceanside. So we have a city proclamation.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have other cities that are interested in adopting the Eight Keys as well. But
that
we are
amazing to me. Go ahead.
We are on a campaign to reach 50 million with the Eight Keys of Excellence. So we're wanting to...
Well, tell about the... Yeah, share the website that you want people to kind of take the pledge with, because I know we were talking about that before the show started. So how do they make the pledge, Bobby?
Yes, it's go to 8keys.org, and there is a place on the site where it says, you know, to take the pledge, and you sign up either as an individual, a family, a school, or a business, and then with how many people are in your family or business. And so we're doing a count, and we're up to over 20 million now. We work with a lot of schools. I know. The numbers add up when we go into entire districts, and it's all the students in the district that know and are taught the Eight Keys of Excellence. It becomes a language. You know, it's a common language when you learn the Eight Keys of Excellence, and it's how people interact with each other. And mm-hmm. one of my favorite stories is a school that was in having big challenges, and they had a gang problems. And, you know, when a new student would come to the school, to be popular, you would need to join a gang or bad behavior. That was what was cool. And over time, when they adopted the Eight Keys of Excellence, they started to permeate the school, and the principal had told me the new cool in the school is to live by the Eight Keys, and what a transformation that was.
And was that kind of your idea where you started this kind of momentum, or has it always been something that's kind of been growing? And, you know, because to me, it's like you've got a momentum and a mission that you're working with the 50 million, you're on the way to 20 million. How did it start to kind of turn into this big movement? I'm curious.
Well, I did receive a humanitarian award from a group that it was around the excellence effect and about how to reach students everywhere with the Eight Keys of Excellence. And that's where it started. And we created the excellence effect movement. And it's about positive behavior and focusing on what the positive is. We have so many Eight Keys of Excellence stories about how a key has impacted someone and how they're living it. And, you know, in a school that has the Eight Keys of Excellence, one of the teachers was out on the playground, and he said he's looking over at some students that were doing, you know, speaking with not good purpose and getting into an argument. And all he had to do, we have hand motions for them as well, and all he had to do is do the hand motion for speak with good purpose. And the students kind of looked, and it's like they nod their head, oh, I get it. Of course, then the principal is talking too, because he was saying something once, and a student looked at him and said, is that really speaking with good purpose? You know, so it's...
Oh, that's precious.
It goes back and forth.
Well, and I know you've got a big event coming up that you do every year. Super Camp is super big and super wonderful. So tell our listeners a little bit. I mean, how did, you know, I mean, if you can, because I ask big questions, but I mean, my gosh, how did Super Camp start? And I know you shared with me you get about 2,000 people every year, but give us the details and tell us what that journey and progression has been like since starting your Super Camp.
Yeah, it was really with that first program where we took the learning skills from the business program we were doing and just left off the business skills. But with the learning skills that we were teaching and doing the program and seeing the results, and I'll tell you, it was one student at the end of that very first program that stood on stage to share it the last day, and it was somebody that had been quiet through the whole program. He was small in size, and there were a lot of kids that were older and bigger than him, and he was just kind of quiet through the program. But when he stood on stage and started to share a bit about what he gained from the program, all the students went crazy, clapping. They even jumped up on the table, stomped their feet, and just watching that boy change, that's where I made a commitment, and that's where I committed to focus my energies on youth, because I knew that he would never be the same. And now we have over 70,000 students that have gone through the 10-day residential program, and I know that it makes a difference, and that's what my commitment is. So every summer we go out and do the program on university campuses. In California, we're at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, and we're at Stanford University and UC Berkeley. That's where we are in California. And we do it across the U.S. at other campuses as well, where parents send us their children, and they stay residential on a university campus, which is really a great experience for them as well for 10 days. And go through the program.
In the dorms. So they're like in the dorm programs, and they stay overnight. And okay, wow.
Yes, sleep in the dorms, eat in the cafeteria. So they really get a sense of what it is to be on a university campus. And that, you know, it makes them think forward in life about what it could be. And a vision forward.
And what do you do at Super Camp? What do they experience? I would imagine just amazing enrichment. But what does the 10 days include?
Well, we put them in teams of 12 students each with a male and female team leader, and they get so close in their team. And for so many students, they just learn, wow, there's other people here that have the same concerns, same challenges as I do. So they bond in a very deep way, and most of the students say they make the best friends of their life there because they drop their shield, you know, to just be themselves. And not worry about what other people are thinking about them. We call that FIMAGE, fear of image, you know, that students often act a certain way to fit in or be like. But when you really know who you are and want to live by your best self and show that, the students feel when they are themselves, that's when they're most liked and get closer to other students. So we teach them both learning and life skills. So they go through a lot of experience and activities to learn how to be better learners and readers and writers and really look about what their values are and how they're leading their life and do their behaviors match their actions and what they want to do and create and then have the skills to do it.
I just love that, and I know how successful, I mean, your reputation out here in Southern California, which I know among the world is amazing, but living in San Diego County, it's just, you know, your name is everywhere all over, so I know it's in areas I'm not even in, but, you know, when you first started Super Camps, I mean, what has it been like to continue, and again, knowing that you are our Lifetime Legacy Award winner, what has it been like every year to kind of continue to always stay one step ahead, stay relevant, stay, you know, cutting edge, all of that? Because it seems like you've done that, and I know you've been in business a long time. So for any of our listeners who are women owners or even women who work for companies, what have been kind of your keys to success, if I can answer that, even though I know you have the eight wonderful keys of excellence? What have been your keys to kind of continuing to be so relevant in the marketplace? What would those be?
Well, we get a lot of feedback, you know, that we get feedback from the students, we get feedback from our staff and the schools, we get feedback from teachers, so we're good at getting feedback and then put teams of people together at the end of a season and review the feedback and then look to see what kind of changes. And you know, there usually aren't big changes, but they're little changes. But this is our 34th year, so you start adding up those little changes, and it's really being in response to what's out there. And then being aware as you grow, because when we started, you know, I started with a partnership, and then we added a few, and then you go to team, and then you get to organization. And really being aware of those different steps as you grow, because what you're doing in partnership, you both know what you're doing and you're just talking and you don't have a lot of form around you. Then you go to team and there's still that getting together and talk and somebody goes off and does something, but you're just can almost visually see what people are doing, but when you get to organization and then all of a sudden there's more policies, procedures, and systems in place to make it run, and sometimes people that are in your organization, sometimes you can feel a rumbling. It's like you're about to go to the next stage, and some people will get uncomfortable and some won't, you know, with, why can't it just be the way it's always been? Why do we need these policies now? Why can't we just do it as we've done it in the past? So, you know, being aware of that and having the conversation and what's needed to grow, I think that's important to pay attention to.
And you have along the way, I mean, you have quite a team of people around you all over, if I understand, just even locally. You have how many employees now?
We have 35 full-time, and in the summer we have about 200 seasonal employees. And then we have site licenses and with others who have staff as well. So.
And, you know, I got to ask, because we're, you know, just in case anybody wants to reach you, what would be the easiest way that you'd like people to contact you if they have questions or if they're interested in Super Camp, of course, but how would you like people to contact you and where?
Yes, well, at supercamp.com, and there's a place just to ask questions or contact us there. That's the easiest. Or people could. I think supercamp.com would be the easiest.
Is there a phone number on there, too, if anybody has questions with a phone call, or do you want to share that?
Yes, it's 800-228-5327.
Cool. And are you still taking Super Camp applications and things like that all over if anybody's interested in raising their hand to know more?
Yes, absolutely. Most of the enrollments come in May and June, so.
All right, listeners, listen in, because you still got openings for Super Camp. It's amazing. I want to, you know, segue a little bit over to, you know, I guess the lessons we learn in business. And I would imagine you have a whole probably list of things of what to think about, or you'd think twice if you did them again. But what is maybe just almost a very impactful learning lesson that you've had as you've grown and built your business? And I'm thinking as a Lifetime Legacy Award winner, what would be maybe just something you can share with our listeners that has been a tough lesson learned, if I can call it that, that you would share?
Well, one is the importance of focusing on relationships. And now I'm speaking specifically internal relationships with your staff. It's so easy to take for granted people and what's going on. And, you know, I used to think, okay, well, I look around and relationships aren't so good, or, you know, I'm not feeling people as engaged as I think that they would want them to be. And so we'll stop what we're doing and really focus on relationships, you know, and okay, we'll spend 2 weeks and we'll just have activities and paired chairs and, you know, we'll do all this on relationship and then we'll go back to our work. And I think our lesson there is just you have to integrate an ongoing focus on relationships and culture. And if you don't, as soon as you don't, you know, they go different ways. Even it's a challenge for us when we have people and it's all good relationships and we're here and we have systems and we have daily 10 o'clock, we call them at the 10 o'clock, but we have daily 5-minute meetings. Even with 30-some people here, you come to work, you get at your desk, and you don't know what other people are doing, and just gathering every single day for 10 minutes, and it's a stand-up meeting where we say we have burning chairs and reports from the field, and that is people that are out doing works or programs because we don't always know what they are, and FYI, and we do that every single day, and it helps bring us together. And then, of course, our meetings that we have a town hall that we call once a month where everybody in the office comes together and reports what they're doing. But building things into your system that create relationships, that deepen them and reinforce your principles and who you are and what you're doing. We also have an annual vision day and been doing it for over 30 years. And
wow.
It's a day when everybody just focuses on vision. We get together, we go deeper with our 8 keys of excellence, and we have a different activity every time. This last fall, we have a conference center, and so we have a room that's 10,000 square feet. It's quite large. We built a large labyrinth on the floor, And so the whole day was looking at our vision and reflecting of who we are. And through the labyrinth, we had pillars with one of the eight keys on each of the pillars. So there was just a lot of reflection. So getting all the staff, and we have some external staff that are sales consultants that live in other states. We fly everyone in, and we're all here together, and we do a lot on getting to know each other better personally, go deeper with our vision, which it's been a vision that's been drawing us for 34 years, you know, and recommit to who we are. Because our vision, our vision statement we wrote in our during our first year, and it's still the vision that drives us today and is as strong today as it was 30 years ago. So I'd say that was one of my lessons, too, is put things in writing. Put it in writing and frame it, and not just have something on the wall, but keep living it, keep revisiting it, break it apart in sections and have teams of people go deeper of what it means to them and where it shows up, but really going deep with the work of, you know, vision and who you are and the principles you live and working on relationships with each other. That's important work.
I love that, only because I know, you know, what's interesting is how much that vision really does center you, and it's so easy to kind of get off track on that. I mean, I know, you know, CWI is an association for women, and I know when we started ours, we had a pretty clear vision, and it's like every year we go back to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it still applies. So again, you know, those are magnanimous for a reason, and it's very easy to think, well, let's try something different or this whole thing, and yet you come back to your core focus. It really does center you in an amazing way. Wow, what good information. So last question I'll ask you, because it's a quick one, but is there anything I haven't asked you that I should, you know, you'd like to share with our listeners? One last little kind of hoorah here, anything?
Well, also on things I've learned, too, with being a woman and in the early years, just being really knowing who you are and secure with who you are. So when you hear things out there, it's not undue reaction. You know, just let things go through you if it's not something that's going to further you going forward. You know, that I feel like I've made progress in life without fighting everything that came that being a woman, I could have wanted a different, you know, someone to say something different or feel like you're being held back because of it. But I just felt like letting things go through you and just keeping your focus on where you're headed and what you want and just keeping that focus.
I think I would say in the words of, you know, some of my colleagues, I want to bottle you. I want to bottle you and sell you. You have such wise advice. I want to just pack you up and bottle you and then make you available for sale. So I want to say thank you. So, Bobby, gosh, great information. To all of our listeners, I want to say, gosh, thank you for always listening in with us and being such great listeners. We're going to be back again next Friday here on Women Leading the Way Radio. And my guest next Friday will be the lovely Jayla Siciliano, who is the founder and president of Bonafaire. And Bonafaire is our wine spritzers, and Jayla has been featured on Shark Tank and is under the mentorship of Mark Cuban. So I know she's going to have some fabulous information to share with us. It is Friday. I hope all of you enjoy the weekend. One of the things I love most about Women Leading the Way Radio and what we try to do in CWI is please find another woman that you can give some professional support to, be a mentor, be a sponsor, be someone that supports other women. And for that, I want to tell all of you to have a very fabulous weekend. And thank you again, Bobby DePorter, for being on the radio with us today. All right, folks, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.